Speaking of Father's Day, so they're a really cool present. And I don't know if you read the article this week, but I did, and I'm going to show it to you. This article came up, and for dads, this was probably the greatest present we could have ever got. And if you're a uncle, if you've ever babysitted a kid, or if you've ever helped, watch this out, especially if you're a male. After dad's baby photo went viral, Pampers steps up to install 5,000 new changing rooms and men's stations. Thank you to that. Any dad in here ever had your kid and tried to change their diaper and realized that they didn't put a changing station in the men's room, but they have it in the ladies' room? Come on. It's not right. Well, Pampers stepped up, and we can thank Dante Palmer for his Instagram post. His Instagram post went viral, and because of that, Pampers stepped up and is putting 5,000 changing stations, along with John Legend, who, if you know who John Legend is, the singer, they're stepping up to do this. I don't know about you, but when I read this in one morning this week, it was the most exciting thing. In fact, when Laurie and I were walking to Main Street yesterday, I told her, I was like, did you see the article? They're finally putting changing stations in men's bathrooms. Finally, some equality. But yeah, anyway, so dads, happy Father's Day. You're welcome. Everyone stand up for the reading of the word. We'll be reading out of Galatians 1, verses 11 through 24. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria, Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They had only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Be seated. Now, I don't know about you, but there's this, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, but in the 90s, and I've talked about this before, but in the 90s, there was this crazy art that was had just come out of nowhere, and it was, and you may remember this, it was that 3D art. Anybody remember that 3D art in here? It was art that had, and people would frame it. They'd put it in their offices. A bunch of guys at ACU had it in their dorm rooms, and they would frame it, and what it really was a bunch of colors with some shapes in it, and if you looked at it in a certain way, something popped out, right? But you had to look at it in order for something to pop out. So if you just looked at it, all it did was kind of look like this. It had lines with color, like that. But if you looked at it just the right way, all of a sudden a spaceship would pop out, or an astronaut would pop out, or whatever else you can think of would pop out. Now, the problem is, it never popped out for me. And so when I looked at a 3D picture, my friends they'd walk up behind me and be like, oh, cool, a spaceship, oh, a UFO. And I'm just staring at it. Like, where, I'm just seeing reds and blues. What's happening here? And I mean, I would do everything in my power to see it. My friends would go, well, Russ, if you just stare at it long enough, it'll happen. And, you know, I was a fool who was standing there at it long enough. Then they would say, if you crossed your eyes, just cross your eyes, which that, yeah, you know, cross your eyes and say, I was the guy who would sit there, eyes crossed, looking at this picture for 15 minutes, and guess what? I didn't see it. But what was even worse was the shot that my friends would send to me, would tell me, and maybe you heard this, they would say, you know, Russell, only the really smart people can see it. Those 3D images, oh, man. But let me tell you, when you saw it, when you finally saw it, it was actually pretty cool. I can still remember when I finally saw the astronaut pop out. And it was just, I finally saw what I couldn't see. It took a while. I had to look at things differently, but I finally saw the astronaut. And I wonder, as we read this text in Galatians, if this is not what Paul felt like. I wonder, as we read this text in Galatians, if this is not how Paul is feeling. He has been dealing with people looking at him and not really seeing him. Paul has been defending himself, and we see him constantly defending himself from the very beginning of his ministry, from the very beginning in Acts 9 when he's on the Damascus Road, and everything changes. From that moment on, Paul has been defending himself. He's defending himself against the detractors, those people who are skeptical of what he's doing and why he's doing it. We remember those in Corinth who have finally kind of convinced the community that Paul isn't who Paul is. They say, look at Paul. I mean, that's the guy you want to follow? And I think we even notice that Paul kind of falls into this in that passage in 2 Corinthians. That passage in 2 Corinthians 12 verses 8 and 10. When we have this real intimate moment between Paul and God. And as Paul is writing this, it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, you are strong. Paul speaks of this thorn in the flesh just a verse earlier, this thing that has been bothering him, and many have speculated over what this thorn in the flesh could have been. There's all kinds of ideas. It could be some of Paul's, people say the thorn could be some of Paul's unbelief. Others say the thorn in the flesh could be these very detractors who are getting in the way of Paul's ministry. Others think it may be some physical thing that Paul had, his eyesight or something else. But whatever it is, Paul in this moment believes that if this thorn is taken from him, he could do even more things than what he's doing now. Just take it away. But yet, if you notice in the text, if you notice if you're reading it in 2 Corinthians, you notice that Jesus speaks to him in that moment. In that moment, depending if you have a red letter Bible, the color of those letters are red. And Jesus speaks to him and says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's my grace which is working in your life. So see your life, Paul, through my grace. See your life differently. But I think that can be hard for us as we read this text in Galatians, and as Paul basically in a very short way summarizes his life, it's difficult for us to see our life differently because we just can't do it overnight. It can't come by us crossing our eyes or staring at our life a little bit harder. It doesn't just happen overnight. Now, some of us think it does. In fact, what we do is we try harder. We think if we try harder, then it'll get better, because for some reason we have this idea in our mind that if we try harder, then good things will happen to us and Jesus will bless us. And it's almost like a magic thing we have. It's like God works in this magical way. If we say nice things, then God does nice things. But we've all noticed and looked at all of our lives and seen that sometimes doesn't work, but that's what we think about. And so what we do is we try to do that, and we believe that if we have a life that looks good, if we have a life that says all the right things and behaves in a very good manner, then everything will be okay. But the problem with doing that, the problem with thinking that all we have to do is see our lives better, the problem with thinking that all we have to do is stare at the picture harder, cross our eyes and see it differently, the problem with that is what we miss is we miss what God has been doing, what God is doing, and what God will be doing. If we try to do it in our own power, if we try to do it in the way the world tells us how it should be done, we have a way of missing the big picture. We have a way of missing what's really going on. And it's actually what Paul's detractors are telling the Galatian community. As they tell the Galatian community, look at Paul. Surely this cannot be the guy you want to follow. I mean, come on. He says he's an apostle, and yet he hasn't really told you any good things to do. He hasn't told you the right way, how it's supposed to look, how your life is supposed to look. He didn't give you all the necessary rules to follow. Look at this guy. You want this guy to be the one who tells you what it means to live in God? And these detractors come in and they're like, circumcision, that's the way. If you have circumcision, that would be a visible sign that God is on your side. Paul never told you that, did he? Well, we're telling you that circumcision can make you feel better about yourself. Or how about this, Sabbath? If you follow Sabbath, that'll make you feel safe because you're actually doing something different. You're forcing yourself in a lot of ways, something that you've never done as Gentiles. You're going to kind of do Sabbath, which is staring at your life with your eyes crossed, thinking you're going to see it differently when all you're doing is just doing something else. You're adding something else to your life. But look, I do Sabbath, so I'm good. Paul never told you any of that, did he? What kind of apostle can Paul be? I mean, really, look at him. I mean, you know who this guy was, right? He wanted to kill you at one time, and now he doesn't. And look at him. He's not really great in stature. What good is that? And so what they begin to do is they're telling this, and Paul, as he's getting word of this, he tells the people, well, let me tell you my story one more time. And again, I'm going to tell you my story in the way that you need to see it. So that when you see your life, you won't see your life through if you're circumcised or not circumcised. Or you won't see your life through if you've done Sabbath or if you haven't done Sabbath. You won't see your life if you follow the Torah correctly or if you don't follow the Torah correctly. I'm going to show you why I didn't tell you any of this, because this is how you see your life. And if you can see your life this way, then you're going to realize your story matters. Your story matters no matter what's going on in it. And so Paul in verse 15 says this, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by what? Say it with me. By his grace was pleased. The grace of God is what Paul says is working and flowing and transforming life. Your life matters. Your life is a calling, and your life is actually the witness to grace, whether you realize it or not. To think God has been, is, and will continue to work in your life and in my life is really hard for many of us to see. But Paul says that my call, as he's saying this, he's saying my call and my life was not because of anything I did. It wasn't because I was circumcised. It wasn't because I kept Sabbath great. It was by an act of God working in my life to transform me to this point. And so Paul can say my life up until this point has been a witness to the power of the gospel of grace. Only grace at work in me, not my circumcision, not my Sabbath, not my Torah following self, brought me to this point. Only the power of the gospel could do this. And as Nancy Bedford wrote, and she writes this great thing, she says, the central idea in this verse, in verses 15 and 16, is that God called Paul by grace, and the sense of having been chosen or predestined moves backward. Notice that. Once we encounter God's grace, then we see our life backward. It moves backward from the experience of grace, weaving together his life narrative and making sense of his varied experiences. It's when we encounter God's grace and open up to it, we begin to look at our life backwards differently. We begin to notice things. We begin to understand things better. And so grace gives Paul the eyes to see his life differently than he ever had before. Grace is the power that made the scales fall off his eyes in Acts 9. You remember that with Ananias. Grace is the power that Paul can say, there's a reason why I was a passionate Pharisee. There's a reason why I was zealous for the faith. And as I see it through the lens of grace, I realize all of that was work in me to this point in my life. To the point in which Ananias in Acts 9 can look at God as Ananias has this vision and goes, Lord, you want to use that guy? You know what he did, right? You think this is the best idea for your work is to use Paul? It's why he can say that in verse 23, the churches of Judea now say, this is once the one who persecuted me, who is now for us. This is what grace does in our life. That's the power of the gospel. The grace of God through Jesus Christ is the power that makes our life different. But that can be hard. Because I want you to notice something else. As Paul, and we see this through Paul's life. Have you ever noticed this? Paul tells his story over and over and over and over again. If you read the book of Acts, starting in about Acts 19, you see it all the time. Paul says it. You see it in Galatians here. It's a quick summary version. But Paul tells his story all the time. But what I want you to notice, and this is the thing I think that we forget even about our own stories and about our own life, is that we sometimes look at our lives, and as we look back in our lives, we look at our lives with shame, and we say, oh, God can't use me. You know what I did? You know who I've been? I mean, you know how I've treated people? And shame has a way of shutting us down. Shame has a way of almost trumping grace so that we don't look at our life differently. We look at our life through the lens of shame and we say, I can't tell my story. I can't tell others where I came from. Shame also has a way of saying, my story's not important enough. I mean, I really haven't done anything. I mean, really. I mean, shame has a way of even saying, like, you should hear that guy's story. That was a really cool story. I mean, all I did was grow up in San Angelo. What good does that do? But notice here, Paul is never shameful about his story. Did you ever catch that? Why? Because God does not shame. God does not use shame, but instead uses grace to reorient your life in a different direction. God has a way of saying, let me give you a new way to see it. Shame tells a different story. What shame does, it reorients our life towards this condemning. We beat ourselves up. Grace flips the script and says, no, your life is now redeemed. So look at your life backwards and realize and see what God was doing in those moments. So it's not so much that it helps us in our really bad times in our life to kind of give us the why, but what it does is grace has a way of us looking at our life and realizing through the story of Jesus that God was always with us. We got through it because God was with us. Grace has a way of helping us see our life more gracefully. Grace gives us the power to be graceful to ourselves, which a lot of times we could use that. We could use being graceful to ourselves, reading our story, seeing our story through a different lens than the lens of shame. Paul is saying in this moment that your life matters. When we are set apart, as he says in verse 15, when we are grasped by God's life, by God's grace, then we are shaped by the story of Jesus. The events of our life can be redefined through a different lens. So we can then tell our story, and even as we tell our story in a graceful way. Be kind to ourselves as we tell our story, as we look back, as we've experienced grace. By the way, nothing we did. But as we look back and realize that God was working in that moment in our life to bring us to this point, God was weaving together our story in Him. The totality, and this is the big thing, the totality of your life matters. God created Paul for a reason, and He created you for a reason, whether you believe it or not. Your life is not happenstance. It's what Paul's saying in this part of Galatians. My life is not happenstance. My life was meant for a reason. It was meant to be the evangelist to the Gentiles. And I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what they think about it. My life matters when I see it through grace, because it's only through grace that I can be standing here today. And so today, if I can do anything more in this sermon to say this to you, I will affirm to you today that your life matters. I will affirm to you today that your story matters. I will affirm to you today that I need to hear your story, that we all need to hear your story. I don't care how boring you think your story is, nor do I care, honestly, about how you beat yourself up and think it's bad. Why? Because I believe that your story matters to me and everyone else in here, and we need to hear it so that we can be saved through your story. Paul is helping the Galatians be saved through his story by saying, I was once this and I'm now this, and I can say it as loud as you want because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power that's at work in me. So telling your story matters. Realizing and seeing your life as Paul sees his through grace. We saw it twice. 2 Corinthians, you notice that? It's my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Right? My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And then he gets to Galatians as he's getting beat up by people. And Paul says, I now realize I have been set apart. I have been grasped by Jesus Christ for a reason. And it's been through his grace that's got me to this point. If we can see our lives through grace, then you have the power to tell your story to anyone. To your neighbor. To the person next to you. Anybody needs to hear your story, because your story matters. You're not just one of 7 billion people. You are a unique one of 7 billion people. I don't have the same story as you. I know Chris Walthall in here, but if you ever want a story, he's right there. He'll tell you a story, right, Jenny? He'll tell you a story. Yeah. But that's the importance of it. Stories matter. And Paul, in this part of, as he's closing out chapter 1, says, what I'm about to tell you is going to matter because of what it's done in my life. It matters because of what it's done in my life. And it wasn't any kind of rule following that got me here. It was the power of grace at work in me. So I want to close with this statement. Because this is what it does. If you see your life through the grace of God, then Charles Kuser says this. When you see your life through the grace of God, you will discover a whole new world where standards of success, once dearly held, no longer matter. Where criteria for decisions are radically altered, where people are viewed in a different light. Dads, happy Father's Day. Tell your story to your kids. The unvarnished story. Let them see, let them hear, let them experience the grace of God in your life. And let them see how God has been working. And moms, same for you. You don't get out of it because it's Father's Day. Same for you. And church, tell your stories to one another. Tell the stories to the teenagers. Give them hope. Show them that God is at work. That's how we experience God's grace a lot of times. It's by seeing it worked through you. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.